Hello, everyone, and welcome to the MoPod, brought to you by Modate, where we discuss everything Mo, from modern orthodoxy to my opinions and more. I'm your host, Evan Harris, and we have a great guest for you today. Let's get to it. Today, we're sitting down with Tamir Goodman. How are you, Tamir?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So, first of all, thank you for coming on. This has been a long time in the making, trying to get this one on the books, so really appreciate it. And in the interest of time, you know, you obviously were coined the Jewish Jordan, and that has been a nickname that's stuck with you for, I guess, since that happened, right? And so just want to hear about your journey growing up and realizing that basketball was going to end up being, you know, your life.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for thinking of me. I fell in love with the game at a very young age. I was very blessed with a couple of things. First of all, my parents had my back. I told them at a young age I wanted to try to play Division I basketball and professional basketball out playing on Shabbat, which was almost seen as impossible, but yet I had their support from day one. I also had a coach in our neighborhood, Coach Katz, who believed in me more than I believed in myself. And I think that's like a tremendous blessing to have in life. I got my big breakthrough at age 16 because I got invited to my first invitational camp. By the time that camp was over, I had 7 Division I offers. And then that took me into 11th grade, where I was ranked the 25th best player in the country and was getting a lot of scholarship offers. And then I finally got the offer from Maryland and then the Sports Illustrated article with the Jewish Jordan. And yeah, like you said, ever since then, everywhere I go, the Jewish Jordan nickname will always be with me. It's not something that I ever asked for. And in general, the attention doesn't really fit my personality. You know, there was one point where I had over 700 media requests in 1 week. There was a list of most influential Jews. I think I was ahead of the White House press secretary when I was like 17 years old. So Jerry Seinfeld did a full skit about me on Saturday Night Live. Like it's hard to even imagine. And in a lot of ways, back then, before the internet, in certain ways, it was even more powerful than the internet today, because today we're bombarded with a million articles. But back then, like if you were in Sports Illustrated, everyone couldn't wait to read that article. And that article stayed with you until the next edition came out. And it's like, it kind of like penetrated people's hearts and souls and minds even deeper than, you know, the way we read things today. So it's like a lot of people from back then, they still remember the Sports Illustrated so vividly, whereas if it was today, I'm not sure it would be as impactful as it was back then in a certain way. And even though like this wasn't my personality, all these articles and stuff, I never played for myself. I always played for the Jewish people and for Hashem and to try to do good things through basketball. And that forced me to kind of get used to having to deal with things that aren't necessarily my favorite. And that's the same thing with the Jewish Jordan. I never asked to be called the Jewish Jordan, but in a lot of ways, that nickname has been able to help a lot of people over the years. Because, for example, if people need help with a job or there's certain way I could like make an intro for them or get them in a door, a lot of times on the emails and stuff, it'll, oh yeah, I remember you as the Jewish Jordan. And I'll be like, yeah, I remember my story. Can you help this guy out? You know, type of thing. So from year to year, I've learned to realize like why it was given to me and how best to use it to help other people. But overall, it kind of meshed in with my overall mission in life, which was, yeah, I love the game of basketball, but I didn't really play for myself. I always played for a higher purpose.
Okay. And so you spoke about the internet not being around back then, and that, you know, can have a greater impact. But now today, right, we have, you know, I'm 26 years old. So when you were coined the Jewish Jordan, I was like, you know, very little. And now like our generation's Jewish Jordan is Ryan Terrell. And so he is firmly in the internet age. And like, how do you think that is impacting? I'm sure you have like a large connection with him, you know, spoken to him multiple times. And so first of all, like, what is your relationship like? And also, how do you think like that is impacting his career?
I think that Ryan, Ryan and I have a very warm relationship. We were able to spend time this summer together. He came over here to Israel to play, and I got to spend time with him and his family. And you know, I love all of them and I'm very proud of him. I think that in general, the world, I think this generation now has brought in a heightened sensitivity to different cultures and certain, you know, caring for accommodating and understanding people that are different than you. And I think like that's really special to see. Like that's really warm. And that makes me really happy to see that. I think that's one of the unique, you know, attributes that the younger generation has brought to this world, a certain sensitivity and caring for people that are different backgrounds. So that has made me really happy. And if he could have a smoother ride through his journey and not have to deal with things that I had to deal with, that would be like a really, really, that would make me really happy to see. So that would be awesome.
Okay. So back to your career, right? You're in 11th grade and you're ranked number 25 high school player in the country. Were you thinking at that time, like, I want to go to the NBA? Were those the aspirations?
Not really. I didn't think that far ahead. I'm more like a win the day type of person and see where God takes you. So for me, it was just about trying to get better every day. Also in the classroom, you know, because I'm very dyslexic, it's very hard for me to read or write, and I couldn't really pass my SATs. So that was like a really big battle for me. Back then, you had to get a certain score. So I had all these scholarship offers, but I wasn't able to pass my SATs. So started doing a lot of basketball clinics, getting money from those clinics and paying for private tutors, SAT specialists to help me. And thank God I was able to do it. I was able to pass my SATs. And actually, when I got to college, I made Dean's List. So I always tell kids with learning challenges, like, don't let these exams define like whether you're smart or not. You know, everybody has their own unique abilities, and sometimes our challenges are our hidden superpowers. And that really was for me on the court too. Like when I got on the court, the one thing that gave me confidence was that I was dyslexic, because when you're dyslexic, like you could kind of see things that other people don't see. And I always felt like I could get my teammates the ball and put them in a situation to score, even if they didn't realize they were open, because I was able to see things that other people weren't seeing. And I love that. Basketball, that's my favorite part of the game, is passing. So, I originally committed to Maryland, but at the end of 11th grade, two huge challenges came. Number one, the Jewish school asked me to transfer for my senior year, so I had to find a new school for my senior year. And then also Maryland, basically it wasn't going to work out there, so I had to give them back the scholarship. I didn't want to play on Shabbat. And now, I guess a couple months after Sports Illustrated, I don't know where I'm going to graduate high school, and I don't know where I'm going to play in college. Thank God there was a Seventh-day Adventist school called Tacoma Academy that brought me in, and they told me I could play there without playing on Shabbat, because they're Seventh-day Adventist. They don't play on Shabbat either. We had a really good backcourt, a really good team. My teammate was Brian Wright, who's now the GM of the San Antonio Spurs, and Tony Skin, who's the head coach at George Mason. And athletically, academically, socially, I actually grew a lot going to the Christian school. It prepared me for college and prepared me for the Capital Classic All-Star Game, which I won the MVP of my senior year. I think the Christian school helped me with that very much. And then ultimately Towson managed to change the schedule for me, and I was able to play Division I on a full scholarship without having to play on Shabbat. And that was more than a dream come true for me. So very blessed that I got to do something and live out my dream, something that was seen as impossible.
Before we get back to the episode, here's a word from our sponsors. The Mopod is sponsored by OKClarity.com. OKClarity.com is the place for any Jew, no matter how from or religious you are, to find a top-notch therapist, psychiatrist, coach, or nutritionist, and is completely free for you to use. OKClarity.com's professionals are vetted and have extensive experience working with the Jewish community. If you're in the market for a therapist, coach, nutritionist, psychiatrist, or the like, you want to check them out. If you don't find what you're looking for, they have a concierge service where you complete a short form and they will personally match you. If you are a wellness professional, I highly recommend joining their directory. Their team is amazing, and professionals receive referrals effortlessly. OKClarity also has an amazing WhatsApp status with over 8,000 obsessed followers, and yes, I am one of them. Their WhatsApp is a free way to improve your mental health, and they post great humor, so you'll laugh too. If you have WhatsApp, shoot them a message at 917-426-1495. Again, that's 917-426-1495. We'll put the links to their website and WhatsApp in the show notes. So make sure to smash those links. You won't regret it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, you know, battling through different adversities and making it through. And so something that a lot of people may not know about you is that you have a very big family, a lot of siblings. So wondering, how did that, you think, impact your, you know, development growing up, you know, becoming kind of, you know, a star in your own right? How do you think that impacted you?
Well, back in the day before the internet and phones and all that, all we did was play ball. You didn't really, mm-hmm. you know, that's life. That was your whole entire life, was playing ball with your family and friends. So to me, that was a really great bonus because I always got to play with my brothers. You know, that's all we did was play basketball. And that was my favorite thing. There was one time where they beat me. They're older than me, in a game, and we came in the kitchen. I was probably 9 and I was crying because I had lost. And my brothers told my mother, like, hey, tell Tamir to chill out. It's just a game. Why does he take basketball so seriously? Like, we're older than him. Of course we're supposed to win. Why is he crying? You know? And I looked at my mother and I'm like, yeah, but you know what? It's not just a game for me. It really means more than just a game. I really love basketball and I have some big dreams I want to go after. And to my mother's credit, my parents' credit, they backed me. They, even though my mother didn't really know anything about basketball, she just, with her eyes, she just like believed in me, you know? And so I think my family was a great, and still is a great blessing to me. And now I have 5 kids, you know? So I'm happy that I also have a big family. And I think it's a great way to grow up. There's nothing like your siblings and your family. It's very special.
Okay. And so, you know, obviously you're talking about not playing on Shabbos and how important that was to you. Was there ever a moment in your early, I mean, not really early basketball life, but like when you were becoming big, that you were thinking like, should I just play on Shabbos? Should I just give this up to really fulfill the highest level of basketball that I could fulfill, get to the highest point of my career that I could?
That wasn't really a challenge for me because I mm-hmm. knew basketball came from God. And I also, you know, my grandmother who raised me was a Holocaust survivor, and I was actually closer to her than anybody else in the world. And I just always wanted to make her proud. And I was, it's hard to even explain how close I was with my grandmother. I've never seen anything like it till today. Like, we were inseparable. Unfortunately, after my freshman year at Towson, my coach who helped me with Shabbat got fired, and a new coach came in, and he flipped my life upside down and assaulted me in the locker room. And I was very broken after that, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Like, that was something I couldn't. So growing up, the Shabbat stuff wasn't a challenge for me. Maryland turning that off, that wasn't, you know, my biggest challenge came when that happened. That took me a while to overcome.
So how did you overcome?
Well, I never played another game of college basketball. I never saw my teammates again, really. I just went home, and athletic director's like, look, you could keep your scholarship. We feel bad for what happened, and you don't have to play on the team. That didn't really make me feel better. So I just went home and I stopped playing, and I was broken emotionally, physically, spiritually. And then one day I just woke up and I'm like losing my identity is not really helping me feel better. You know, quitting basketball is not helping me feel better. So while I can't understand why this happened to me, I can understand that everyone has their own unique mission in this world. Otherwise God wouldn't be investing in us 80 trillion cells. Mm-hmm. So I got to like pick myself up. I can't really feel bad for myself, and I can't let somebody else take me away from my mission in life. And I started getting myself back in shape, and I came back stronger than ever. And then I got the call from Coach David Blatt, who ended up coaching the Cavaliers. And he needs a special blessing for health right now. And I hope God gives him that. And Coach Blatt brought me to Israel and start my pro career. And I'm forever grateful to him for that.
Okay. And so going through your pro career in Israel, was making Aliyah something that you always like knew you wanted to do, or
I always wanted to make Aliyah, and I was able to do it through basketball, which was perfect. You know, my grandmother was everything to me, and she lived here in Israel. And just knowing that I could play for Maccabi Tel Aviv and live at my grandmother's house, my life was like beyond perfect. Like, I was so happy. Unfortunately, I lost my knee basically in my first pro season, and I tried to battle through injuries and surgeries for 7 years. I never quit. I pushed myself through tears every day. I came back from 3 career-ending injuries. And then by 2009, I just couldn't play basketball anymore. Until today, I suffered tremendously in my left knee from that injury. So a part of me will always miss playing basketball. Obviously, I recently heard a podcast with a world famous singer. She can't sing anymore. She's had many, many years of success at the professional level. And when she said, I can't really sing anymore, she's like, she almost felt like, what am I even doing here? Like, everything in the world to me is singing. And to me, that's how I felt. Like, all I ever did was want to play basketball, and I lost my knee at the height of my career. And that was very devastating for me. But thank God I was already married by then, and my wife was and is like everything in the world and very supportive. And she just said, "Hey, Tamir, you know, you got the same mission, and you just got to wear a different uniform now." And she was right. And I think those were the best words I could have ever heard. So I think up until that point in my life, it was what did I want from God? Please, Hashem, help me play well so that I can make Kiddush Hashem. But once I couldn't play anymore, it's okay, God let me live out my dream, but what does God need me to do? Mm-hmm. And that made everything change for me. And my whole life, you know, my new sensitivity, my new creativity, everything I do now is only specifically because of my knee injury, because I lost my dream. It made me a much, much better person and helped me reach my potential. Otherwise, yeah, I statistically would have had a better career, but I don't know if I would have reached my potential as a person. So the knee injury, I'm always going to miss the playing. I dream at night still of playing. I dream at night of that I could still play subconsciously, but I can never play. And so I've had great happiness in my life's mission, which I wouldn't have been able to have had without my injury. So thank God I'm involved in a lot of really cool things, and I'm loving every day, and I feel very blessed.
Once again, a brief message from our sponsor, OKClarity.com. The Mopod is sponsored by OKClarity.com. OKClarity.com is a great place for any NHU to find a top-notch therapist, psychiatrist, coach, or nutritionist, and it's completely free for you to use. If you're a wellness professional, definitely check out OKClarity.com and consider joining their directory. Their team is amazing, and professionals receive referrals effortlessly. If you have WhatsApp, shoot them a message at 917-426-1495. Again, that's 917-426-1495. Back to the Mopod.
So the cool things you're involved in now, what are they? What uniform are you wearing now?
Yeah, it's still the same uniform of trying to do good through sports and basketball, obviously, but it just has a lot of different hats. So I'm still on the court twice a week. I work very closely with the future players at Yeshiva University and Stern. I have a movie coming out. I have a new book coming out. I do a lot of speaking engagements. I have a internationally recognized basketball camp in Jerusalem every July. I'm the head of sports at Fabric, which is an incredible fan engagement company that we work very closely with the NBA, MLB, and NHL. And I have invented the Aviv net, which is the first ever antimicrobial and moisture wicking basketball net with advertising opportunities on the net. So it's been really exciting. It involves a lot of charity work too. So, and I've been blessed with the most incredible wife and 5 kids. So, you know, a lot of philanthropic and educational initiatives too through basketball, I would say. Yeah.
All right. I mean, that sounds like a lot of different things going on at the same time.
Yeah, but it's all under the same intentions, I would say, of just trying to fulfill my potential, what God sees me and why God gave me basketball.
So in terms of not being able to play anymore, you're still able to shoot around and.
I haven't even really been able to shoot around since it's been over 20 years since I've been able to shoot a basketball without pain.
Really?
I was recently invited on an Israeli, the Israeli ESPN, I guess, Channel 5 Israel.
Uh-huh.
And they were interviewing me. And while they were interviewing me, just like you and I are sitting right here, they were putting clips up of me playing. In Israel. And the guy saw me looking at the clips, and he's like, "Mata, lo mizeh?" He's like, you don't recognize that person? And I'm like, no, I don't. I couldn't even remember how fast I was or what it felt like to jump without being what I used to jump what I used to shoot. I couldn't even remember. It's like one time I heard this person, unfortunately he was blind, but he was saying during the speech, he's like, "I don't even remember what I look like. I can't even remember anymore." And I was like, I can't even, it's been, I only know pain in my knee. I don't know any other way. Like it's been over 20 years.
Wow. Okay. Well, and really appreciate you coming on. In the interest of time, we're going to move on to a segment we do here called the Mopod Lightning Rounds, where I'm just going to fire off some quick questions and you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. What is the best basketball venue in Israel to watch a game? If, let's say, you're visiting Israel and you want to go to a basketball game, where should you go?
I would say the new Hapoel Jerusalem Arena.
Okay.
They have a new ownership, and it's really exciting there now.
Who is the best player you ever guarded?
Speedy Claxton before he got hurt.
How many towels should a person own?
5.
How many times a day does someone ask you for a picture?
Probably close to 3.
Do you ever say no?
I don't really say no to anybody on anything.
Okay, that's very kind. Thank you, Tamir Goodman, for coming on the Mopod. Anything else you want our listeners to know before we sign off?
No, just I want to wish everybody a Shana Tova. It should be a great new year in every way, and thank you for thinking of me.
All right, thank you. You too.
All right, all the best.